Welcome to the Search Stories UK FAQ podcast on compression and deduplication in primary storage. My name's Anthony Adzed, Bureau Chief for Search Stories UK. Today's speaker is Steve Pinder, Practice Lead for Storage with Glasshouse Technologies UK. There are two questions in today's podcast. The first question is, what's the difference between data compression and data deduplication in primary data scenarios? Over to you, Steve.
Thanks, Anthony. Data compression and deduplication are not separate names for the same thing, but are actually two different technologies. As they're not related, they can be used either independently or can even complement each other to further save space on primary storage. First of all, compression. It's the process of using algorithms to reduce the amount of physical space that a file takes up. It usually involves changing the format of the file and therefore can be quite a labour-intensive process. A good example, for instance, is zipping up documents to send in emails. I'm sure that most of the listeners have sent a zip file where you actually reprocess the documents you want to and then add them into a zip file and forward them on. With regards to compression algorithms, there's two main types. Lossless and lossy. Lossless algorithms, as the name suggests, convert the data without any loss of the original file whatsoever. So it compresses the amount of data that the file takes up, but what you can then do is uncompress the file and it gets back to the original, exact original file. Lossy algorithms, they're more efficient than lossless algorithms, but if you uncompress them, it's impossible to get back to the actual original file. For lossless compression, good examples that we need to use this technology on is, for instance, spreadsheets and text files where we need the data. Lossy files or lossy compression can be used in scenarios such as video streaming and photographs, where what they generally do is you get a slight loss of quality of the file, but it's not discernible to the naked eye. It should be noted, however, that if you use a lossy data compression algorithm over and over again, you'll get to a stage where the original file is not of sufficient quality. Deduplication, by contrast, reduces the size of large data sets by removing information that's duplicated and leaving a pointer to the original data. So you've got one copy of the data and pointers to that where the other similar or the same data areas used to be. Deduplication can work at the file or block level as desired. I mean, just for an example, if I was to send an email to 20 people, for instance, with an attachment, there'd be 20 copies of the attachment in the email system. What a deduplication appliance could do is keep the original copy of that attachment and then just put pointers to it from where the other 20 copies of the file would be. So it can be very efficient in systems where you've got lots of user file data or lots of pages of data that are the same. Deduplication, that's been used for a long time in backup applications, but that's becoming a more acceptable method of saving space on primary file systems as well.
Thanks, Steve. The second question is, what are the benefits and limitations of compression and deduplication when applied to primary data storage? Over to you again, Steve.
Okay, thanks. Take compression to begin with. As the example that I used before of zipping a file up, it's pretty impractical to have to use that type of compression route for primary storage on a sort of day-to-day basis. It's not acceptable basically to expect users to compress and uncompress data as they want to use it. What for one-off operations, for instance, like sending emails, it's fine, but for day-to-day operations, it's not acceptable, basically. What is becoming available now are basically appliance-based engines that can compress data as it's written to the primary storage area. These are becoming more prevalent in NAS-based workloads and can offer greatly reduced storage footprints with little or no performance degradation. Indeed, some of the vendors out there that offer these services and appliances, they claim that the actual performance of the file system is increased because the data that's written to the storage is actually smaller because it's compressed. Deduplication, traditionally that's been used only for some nearline or archive file systems because there's been quite a high I/O overhead to process the data, although improvements have made them more viable for many environments as well. For instance, good candidates for deduplication are the increasing prevalence of a virtual environments and another one, user home directories, for instance. In VM environments, for example, if we have many VMs on the same physical machine, they use the same OS and application files, and that lends itself quite well to deduplication. And also home directories, for instance, many people, once again, saving the same file to the data area, deduplication can work and be very efficient in saving space on these areas. One thing that needs to really take place when you're considering deduplication for a primary data area is to run a proof of concept, because not all data types lend themselves well to deduplication. For instance, databases and stuff that are updated all the time. What can happen with these data sets is that the actual process of trying to deduplicate the data adds an overhead to the file system, and performance will actually be greatly reduced. So, as I said, it's important to run a proof of concept before considering data deduplication or compression on primary storage arrays. So, just to recap, benefits, we can get a large decrease in the actual physical capacity used, but the limitations are it's not suitable for all data types, basically.
Thanks, Steve. That's the end of the podcast.